Business Rap of the Day on Metro FM Talk with Aya Bongakawe.
6 minutes it is now before 8 p.m. You tuned into Metro FM Talk. It's our wrap of the top business stories, and I'm joined to help us take a look at some of these by analyst at Emergence Investment Managers, Nolwandle Mthombeni. And Nolwandle, interesting one here, and I guess it's certainly no breaking news by any stretch of the imagination. I think there was a lot of expectation that this would happen, and a waiving of some of the procurement rules. I also saw a call for comment on issues on around the PFMA earlier on the National Treasury's website. But it seems now that there's an aim to centralize the procurement of much needed and I guess very scarce protective equipment at this point in time. We also would have seen the likes of Nehawu taking the government to court around health workers not having access to some of this protective gear. What does this mean for people who produce in the sector?
So I think, I mean, I'm just thinking in terms of the time frame. I mean, how far are we into this lockdown that is happening now? So I think, you know, I think it ultimately depends in terms of, you know, how this is done for them. I imagine, though, in terms of, you know, they won't be, you know, it has to be more formalized and more strict and a process in terms of how we're going to get it. But I think, you know, they will have to follow, you know, government, you know, whatever rules the government sets. So I think in terms of the operating model and, you know, how they were doing this, they have to, you know, go away from doing it their way and now follow government's rules. And with that, the implications of, you know, maybe they were selling things at a profit margin or something like that. So I think for once you have to standardize something to a certain way, obviously you lose some benefits from having to follow that, you know, the regulations or the procedures that are set out, especially if it's done, you know, with government. You know, everything in government has to be, you know, more at arm's length, especially in a crisis situation where you are doing this and you probably have to, you know, follow quite strict codes on this. So, you know, I think it's for the benefit for the economy and this, and then in public health more than anything. And, you know, for the procurement, people doing the procuring, obviously now they have to follow a new set of rules now that they have to adjust to.
And I mean, yes, it might be protective gear now, but do you anticipate that there might be other things that might come in short supply? I mean, you know, a lot of people are suggesting that if some of the liquidity challenges continue, maybe within the banking sector, that, you know, if we have this challenge, worst case scenario, for about the next 18 months to 2 years, that there might be other areas beyond just the medical clinical space where there might be shortages that require this kind of centralized procurement. What's your view on that?
Yes, so definitely that is the role of government. They are supposed to step in when, you know, there's, you know, no order or anything. One of government's roles is to create order, and they set out the rules to govern everything governed effectively. So if you do come into a situation where it's not just those procurements and it's other sectors, other things that are impacted, they will have to step in to create laws that govern this so that it is to the benefit for the entire economy. So it definitely would not stop there, and especially if it's, you know, more, you know, it's over a longer period and the lockdown is extended, and, you know, the demand and supply, you know, dynamics are, you know, not in favor for the economy, they'll definitely now start tightening up whatever else needs to be, and which is correct because that is ultimately their role, because there is no other person who's going to step in and be able to dictate or put in laws for, you know, any private individual or company on who they should sell to or where to, you know. Only government has that authority to put in those laws in place.
And, you know, just the other story here that I found interesting while we're talking about protective gear, many of our listeners would know that the Association of Mine Workers and Construction Union, AMCU, has made it very clear that they don't think production should resume in the mining sector unless there's a clear plan to keep many of their members and many working people in that sector safe from the spread of COVID-19. And they're saying that they want health legislation and guidelines here and testing kits and all manner of other things to be gazetted before they agree to taking many of your workers back to underground or even, I guess, on the surface of many of the mining operations. What's the impact going to be here? Because we do know that some mining operations in the refining space have been able to continue, albeit partially, but if indeed there is a delay even after the announcement of the end of this lockdown in resuming mining production, what's the opportunity cost of that kind of delay?
So I think at this point in time, it's health above all else. And I think that's what's more important. You know, delay will have a huge financial cost. You know, definitely it will. But ultimately, I mean, I think it's quite reasonable for the union to take the stance on the health and safety of their workers. You know, mining is a labor-intensive job, so and being in proximity with your co-workers is what will happen. So I think the fight for against corona, the invisible enemy, is still there, and it shouldn't now. There's no amount of profits that can make this better. You know, no much of financial gain, any companies can make it feel better for if the results turn to be really bad. So I think, it is short-term anyway, so I just think that what's important is that, these regulations are not hard to put through. I mean, I think they can be done in a very quick amount of time, and because it's very quickly, because it's ultimately we know exactly what needs to happen when you social distancing and how to prevent, the transmission or spreading of the disease. So I think, the best thing that, they can do between the finance, the minerals minister and the unions and all affected parties is just get this through as quickly as possible. And that's the only way you can, kind of minimize the cost of, any production delays. But I think that's still very important. And whatever we lose, we'll lose. But I think, the more important thing is, do protect the workers.
Certainly a tough one here, and it's I guess going to put the likes of the Department of Energy to try and navigate this situation. I mean, if you were sitting in Minister Gwede Mandashe's position at this point in time, well, what would be your next move?
So I think, well, for one, I'm very happy that these ministers are working, hard. Happy that
they are earning their keep.
Exactly. They should be, and they're finally actually doing some work, so which is really good. But I think, from the minister's perspective, I think what he's already done is identified, which sort of mining, I think there should be some consistency in terms of which mines are allowed to open and operating, and make sure it's just standard across, because, there has been some inconsistencies. The second is to obviously make sure that you bed down these safety and health concerns immediately, get all parties. And I think because of, the time constraints of this, I think they can get that through quite quickly if they, stop sleeping. And we know they're not drinking, so they can they can focus
we
on
hope.
This.
We hope.
Yeah. So
people have stashes, right? People have...
They run out quick. Trust me, I know. So I think you'll prioritize getting this and done, and then making sure that everything is signed off and it's, and you've got the policies in place, and then you can, get a few production out there and do some exporting.
Okay. Nolwandle, talking about exporting, before I let you go, what do you make, of course, of the reprieve now given to the South African wine industry and I guess clearing the way for them to be able to export here? It seems joining, I guess, a list of exceptions that have been made to these regulations. What's your view on that?
Yeah, you remember what we talked about last week is that when you introduce these sort of measures, you're obviously going to have these very draconian ones coming along. And then over time, you're going to relax them and just, kind of make these changes. And this is just another one that's come through. And, it makes sense. I think in terms of, especially, winemaking, number of people that you typically be working, if you go to where the wineries are, it's not that many people do. Maybe the picking, but even then it's not that many people. So in terms of the number of people that you need to go do it, it's from a health perspective, it's not as high risk. But also, obviously, you're going to benefit, our wine export, we've got one of the biggest wine export economies globally. And, obviously at exchange rates, we're going to benefit. So I think exports is the key thing, key word, the exports. And you can see that government is now trying to kind of, capitalize out of this crisis.
And I guess we need as much foreign exchange as we can, because you know, we don't produce as many masks here as we would like, and it takes that foreign exchange to go and buy them from people who do.
Yeah, I mean, Saab says -4% GDP depression expecting this year. So, you know, even if we can get that -4 to -3.5, it will make a difference.
Mwanza, we'll have to leave it there. Always a pleasure catching up with you, and thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
That there was Nolwandle Mthombeni, analyst at